This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. Marty Walsh is getting ready to mark his first anniversary as mayor of Boston. As we look back at some of the major stories we've covered in the past year, we're joined this morning by WBUR's Fred Tice to review the first year in office for the new mayor. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Bob.
Marty Walsh has gone through this entire first year of his administration without a superintendent of schools, a permanent superintendent. He has an interim superintendent, yet he's called that appointment the most important he will make. So what's taken him so long?
He recently told the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce that he will have a list of finalists on his desk by February. He says he's been taking his time because there were reforms that he wanted to let the interim superintendent, John McDonough, make.
Well, staying on schools this fall, in addition to the usual challenge of running a big city school system, Mayor Walsh had to face another unpleasant surprise, that being the disastrous opening of the school at Madison Park, the city's vocational technical school. 20 teachers had yet to be hired, and students found themselves without schedules for more than a week. How do people believe Walsh handled that crisis, Fred?
Well, as with many things, it depends on who you talk to, right? Many people have lost confidence in the school's ability to take care of itself. Some are urging the mayor to get more involved in the schools. Others think the mayor should take his time to get the Madison Park problem solved. Tony Elka is the founder of Future Chefs, and she trains teenagers to work in restaurants, some of them from the Madison Park School.
I'm happy that we have a mayor that wants to promote vocational and technical education. I'm also happy that we have a mayor who doesn't think he knows the answers to it and is interested in engaging with all the players to figure out how we go forward in this community with everybody behind a really good idea. And that takes time.
Elka says one of the first things to figure out is who gets to go to Madison Park. The school has a mix of students there now, and not all of them are committed to a vocational technical education.
Okay, changing subjects. As Marty Walsh neared his first anniversary, he became the city's chief mourner as his predecessor, Tom Menino, the longest-serving mayor in the city of Boston, died only months after leaving office. What did Menino's death mean to the city and to the new mayor, Fred?
Well, first of all, of course, to the city. If you have a mayor for 20 years and a mayor that half the people in the city have met, it was felt as just a huge loss, right? And we remember those days. I arrived at Faneuil Hall before it opened to the public when Menino's body was laying in rest there. And I couldn't believe what I saw. I mean, it was a miserable morning. It was raining. It was sleeting. It was snowing all at the same time. It was cold. And yet, here were all these people waiting in the frigid, wet weather to pay their respects. Later that day at the funeral mass, Walsh said, "The people-loving urban mechanic has gone to fix potholes in heaven," summing up one way that people saw Mayor Menino. Walsh has said over the last few months that Menino had encouraged him to run, even though there were reports of tension between Walsh and one of Menino's sons.
One of the most notable changes in the Walsh administration compared to the Menino administration is in the city's approach to development. It had been a major promise in the Walsh campaign. But Marty Walsh has not yet abolished the Boston Redevelopment Authority. So tell us how that powerful agency is changing.
And I would say that he seems to be very committed to the BRA now. As you point out, he had promised to take on that Boston institution in the way it wielded power. And he's getting high marks for appointing Brian Golden as the new permanent director. Golden had been the interim director. He was appointed to his previous job as executive director by Mayor Menino. And in the past year, he's dedicated himself to making the BRA more transparent. Now, previously, there was a perception among some developers in Boston that if you were with the mayor, your project would be fast-tracked. But if you weren't, then your project would stall. And making the BRA more transparent and predictable is what Walsh seems to want to do, but there's also a side effect to that, which is that it could make it less efficient. Recently, I met with Dan Noonan, the manager of the East Boston Shipyard. He's waited a year to get a project going that he thinks makes a lot of sense for the city. At the shipyard, he's able to work on boats up to 70 feet long, but Boston doesn't have any shipyards that can take ships that are between ocean liners and pleasure boats.
So we have nothing to take care of the Coast Guard, the ferry boats, the police boats, the fire boats, and those mid-sized vessels. They have to go out of state. And when they run out of state, they're missing from Boston for that period of time. So security, it's a big issue. And for the ferry boats, they can't be down long because they have schedules, obviously.
So Noonan has his eye on another parcel of land in East Boston owned by the BRA, and he wants to develop a haul-out facility for mid-sized vessels. The East Boston Community Development Corporation has put Noonan's proposal forward to the BRA, but that was a year ago, and they feel that it's really just a trade-off. They're paying the price of the transparency. They feel good about the transparency, but they're realizing the projects may take a little longer now.
So does he think he is going to get this facility?
They seem pretty confident, both he and the folks he's working with, yeah.
All right, let's talk casinos for a few minutes, Fred. In Charlestown, Mayor Walsh has to contend with planning for the expected traffic from the proposed Steve Wynn Resorts Casino in next door Everett. Wynn has decided he's not compensating Boston because the city never received adjoining community status. When the State Gaming Commission awarded the Greater Boston Casino license to Wynn Resorts, it sort of put Walsh in the position of having to negotiate with a casino developer he did not bet on and did not want. So what kind of progress is Marty Walsh making in actually getting money for Boston out of Steve Wynn?
Apparently not much. He admitted that he's only had one conversation with Steve Wynn, although he said that his staff has had several conversations with the staff at Wynn Resorts. It seems that right now, at least some people who are observing this feel, that Wynn does have the upper hand with the city and with the mayor on whatever compensation Boston's going to get for this casino license.
All right, so we'll have to see if Boston can cash in on that casino or not down the road as we move into 2015.
Yeah, and it seems to be a lesson for Marty Walsh, right? He bet on the other casino, really wanted to keep Wynn out of the Boston area casino license, and it backfired, and now he's just got to deal with the fallout.
All right, WBUR's Fred Tice, thanks for the conversation.
Thanks, Bob.